Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks. LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazine, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader, Walter Beatty. He is a longtime baseball coach at all levels, from superstars and professionals to our youngsters. He's a sports dad. He's a baseball Blue Book advisor. And he returns, and then Noel Payne, a longtime runner, race walker, podcaster, and writer, joins me. Then there's some sports doctors in, Bob Guide of Wisdom, some emails. Be our first baseball Blue Book email. Walter Beatty, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Weil. I appreciate it and looking forward to chatting with you again today.
Give us some background, Walter, on yourself and your whole world baseball.
Well, essentially, in today's world, when I go out to speak, a lot of people will say that I've become the ambassador of youth baseball. My career as a player, as a former high school and college head coach, and I have a son who's in the major leagues with the Cleveland Guardians, played collegiately at Vanderbilt. I try to be an alternative to, for parents that are seeking information with regard to how to, when to, all of the questions that are kind of come together with youth sports, youth baseball in particular. And I do work with the Baseball Blue Book folks. They've been around for over 100 years and now taking their directory from paperback format into the world of apps and the app store.
We're all excited about that, too, of being part of their board of advisors in the sports medicine and health and wellness world. And this attention to all of the pressures with these young ball players, both physical and mental, as you've watched over the decades, this whole scenario change in so many ways, it's great to see a lot of attention again, Walter, to what you're talking about, the important aspects of the importance of the kid and the player themselves. And by the way, youth baseball, let's keep having fun, right? Keep it in the mix.
Well, I think a lot of it has to be, the weight of expectations that we're putting on children as young as 6 through 12 years old. I think that's something that has to really be taken a little bit more seriously. I think the business of baseball has become far too important for parents. And I think we have to kind of take a step back and allow the children to be more organic and play the sport as opposed to the weight of results, whether they be individual stats or team stats. And that's really my singular focus, is to return the game of baseball
like
to the youth.
Yes, you're right out of the world of the sports, Dr. Walter. For decades, give or take a few weeks, this has been a huge topic, again, which was the overzealous parents and the effects of all of it on families and sports. Why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where we talk about all of these real, real concerns. And they are physical with all sorts of overuse injuries. I spent 3 years on the radio with the great Lou Vickery, whose pitching coach was Whitey Ford back with the Yankees. He had a radio show called Lou in the Morning for years. I spent once a month, we'd say, the sports doctors in. He'd talk about the overuse shoulders and down there where they played year-round. I call them, the prodigy sports. So the new attention, and like you said, it really, really needs more and more attention. How have the coaches and parents that you come across in all of this responded to paying a lot more attention to exactly what we're talking about?
I think parents are generally...
How are they doing?
I think they really are starting to see the light. I think they're starting now after the last several decades where children are ended up in high school and they're not going on to play professionally and in most cases not going on to play collegiately. I think they're starting to share their their thoughts and their experiences, and I think more of the parents now of the younger children are starting to seek out, you know, the Little League and the rec ball, and to kind of keep it more fun and more enjoyable for young children.
You know, because the reality is, you know, I have on the team orthopedist, the great Chris Ahmad of the Yankees has been a guest of mine, as my fellow member on the Board of Advisors Sports Medicine with Baseball Blue Book, Dr. Brian Cole, who's the team orthopedist for the Bulls and the White Sox. We're talking about, you know, this Tommy John surgery on teenagers. The question becomes, whoa, you know, I'm talking the same thing, my in the world of figure skating or the world of gymnastics, where, again, you have 10-year-olds. So they're doing this sport 10 days a week, and baseball really is no exception when you got the weather. So, like you said, taking a step back, paying big attention, I'm glad to hear that you're saying that the sports and coaches seem to be, you know, really, really getting the message. Because then my next question was, how's your sports psychology skills, Walter?
Well, unfortunately, I have to deal with that quite a bit with regard to talking with parents and trying to get them to kind of take a step back and be more of a parent and less of a competitor. You know, you have to take the training wheels off. Children are going to fall. They're going to fail. They're going to struggle. But, you know, youth sports teaches, you know, not only individual resolve, but conflict resolution, compromise, which is something that I think we need to kind of get back to and take a bigger look at youth sports as a whole. It's not all about scholarships and awards and rankings. You know, there's a lot more that youth sports teaches as a whole that we really need to get back to.
Well, again, if you're lucky, you're one out of a million, then you become somebody, like you mentioned, your son's at the professional baseball level. So you must be doing a lot right. You've lived that whole experience, especially if you have somebody who gets to that type of level. Where can people go to find out information about you, your speaking, your authors, and what you do, Walter?
It's easy to reach me at bdbaseball.com, B as in boy, Edward, David Edward, bdbaseball.com. Everything's there, all, you know, as far as books are concerned and speaking engagements and things of that nature.
You know, what's interesting is, again, we have seen a tremendous leap forward in the size, strength, quickness of athletes at all sports. And baseball is no exception. Whoever dreamed you'd see a 6'7", 230-pound shortstop who's faster than everybody else on the team in that regard. How have you seen those kinds of challenges? Again, really real big-time acceptance of high performance and the physical side of training for our young baseball players.
I think what a lot of people miss is that there's a natural progression. You know, there are late bloomers, early bloomers, and, you know, you have to allow children to have that, you know, childhood as far as with regard to physical and mental growth. You know, the comparison is the thief of all joy, and I think way too many parents get consumed with comparing their son or daughter with other people that are having some level of success within their age group. And youth sports, unfortunately, created a business model that is, you know, tiered by age, 8U, 9U, 10U. And sports as a whole is a peer group, you know, whether it's third through
it's
fifth grade
point.
Or fifth.
You know, that's
fifth graders
that's,
through
that's,
seventh
yeah.
graders. It's not an age development. It is more of a grouping as opposed to an individual age group.
That's a great point in all the thinking and topics we've had on youth sport. That particular point, I think, is a new one. Makes so much sense. It's age group. It's always been everything. It's always been age group. We all have experienced the tremendous difference in talent, capability, in all of these kids, and regardless of the sport. And I think the groupings makes an awful lot of sense. I'm going to keep that one in mind, Walter, when we when we're talking in that whole general world of youth sports. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, we're behind, but I have years worth of radio shows. If you go over to radio shows, international guests, national guests. And what's amazing of the Sports Doctor is the umbrella of topics, the different guests, the different subjects are virtually endless We're talking about one of them now, the whole world of youth sports. We have thousands and thousands of followers, a lot of excitement and education on either LinkedIn and or at SportsDoc, DOC Radio, and the old Twitter, which is now X. We're talking with Walter Beatty. He's a longtime coach. He's an educator. He's an author. He's a podcaster in the whole world of youth baseball and youth sports. So the trials and tribulations of developing a professional youngster is pretty special. How's that going, Walter?
That's something I take a lot of pride in.
Absolutely.
30 years of experience in it. It's something that now is beginning to be more of a common topic. It's becoming a more discussed issue.
How old was your son, Walter? How old was your son when you really started to think the kid's special, we're going to pay special attention?
Both my boys played Little League, and they didn't play travel ball until they were 15. And my son that's in the major leagues now played Little League. He played Junior Little League. He played American Legion.
Did you have a Babe Ruth League like I did when I grew up, which was like 13?
Absolutely.
Or was that long gone?
No. Babe Ruth is still there, and they played for Southside Babe Ruth, which is in Worcester, Massachusetts. So my youngest son displayed the desire, and we started to, once he was a freshman and sophomore in high school, take it more seriously. But I can
absolutely. You just hit a major word. You said the word desire. You just say exactly. So follow up
right
on that, please.
Well, the big thing is he expressed, he wanted to know how good he really was. How did he measure up? And really wanted to take it, not only out of the local area, but regionally and nationally. And that's really where, as a college coach, I knew of certain events, and he was able to see how he measured up against those peers of, ages 15.
What's his position, Walter? What position does he play?
He's a starting right-handed pitcher, and he was
okay.
Recruited by several colleges. He ended up at Vanderbilt, won a national championship at Vanderbilt. But again, we did everything
school.
The right way, focusing on academics over athletics.
Thanks. Big point. And that mixture of that importance, again, like you just said, great lessons for parents, again, whether you're talking about, finding out where the desire is, trying to not be overzealous as best you can. My Olympic gold medal figure skater, Evan Lysacek, grew up here in Naperville, Illinois, was 10 when I put orthotics in his skate. 12 years later, he was the best in the world. I had his mother on the week after the Olympics. I can't believe it's been 14 years. And I asked her that very question. How do you know whose goal it was? He said, Dr. Bob, he had ice time at 6:30. He was in the car with his gloves on at 6 o'clock, man. He had that drive. He had that desire. The prevention of injuries, with all the physical demand as these kids are growing up, that had to be challenging.
I think, the big thing was,
especially with a young pitcher.
Well, he was a four-sport athlete and really never got into gadgets and gadgets and gurus. When it was football season, he played football. Basketball, he played basketball. Track, he ran track. And the biggest thing is he always kept himself active, and he never, had that burning desire to try and chase.
He's almost a dinosaur, Walter. He's almost a dinosaur, a four-sport athlete with their lettuce sweater. Man, there's nowhere near as many, it seems.
And if we really boil the point down to why don't we see many multi-sport athletes, because the business of youth sports does not condone it, does not allow it. That's it in a nutshell.
Traveling teams, club teams, again, the scholarship pressures, you live through all of that. I think that's an excellent point. We have a documentary coming out, Joe Franco. It's called Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. It's about all of this, these kinds of pressures, the business. When he first started working on the documentary, he said, Dr. Wild, we're talking about a $14, $15 billion business. By the time, that was 10 years ago. By the time the documentary comes out, it's probably $100 million a business. But the idea of the business, such a big, so many great points. Walter, please quickly give us the site people could find out more about you, your podcast, your book?
Sure. I'm on YouTube. It's under Baseball Lifer, two words. And then the website is Beatty, B as in boy, Edward, David Edward, BeattyBaseball.com. And all of my resources and information are on that site.
Fantastic. We're definitely going to have you back. And good luck with your son and his career. And hold on, Walls. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Noel Payne. He is a longtime runner. He's a race walker, a podcaster, and a writer. Noel, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Honored to be on your podcast.
Terrific. Give us some background on yourself as a runner, walker, dash, writer, race walker.
Sure, that sounds good. And actually, I think our mutual connection is feet, and the fact that I do have some experience in podorthics, which is orthotics, lower leg assessment.
Yeah, so that's a great connection.
Exactly, brief career up here north of the border in Canada, but been running for 36 years, and picked up race walking in my later years, mainly around the pandemic. And I run, and I podcast, and I write for fun, as well as something I do for work.
You know, I go way back in the world of race walking. I think that's how I connected with you back and forth. My long ago patient, national record holder and whatever, Augie Hurt, the late 70s, and he is already world class, and we got into orthotics and sports training. That we got involved with and really became interested in the challenges of race walking. And unfortunately, when the Olympics were coming up, we boycotted. It was like 1980. You never got to go.
Yep.
But the almost bizarre-like world of race walking and its own physical challenges was a big deal then. It's still a big deal. How far has race walking come in popularity over the years?
I'd actually say it's probably decreased. In terms of the elite world, we're talking like those that the world championships and
you guys
Olympics.
Are artists. Yes, you're all artists. Specialists.
Yeah, exactly. But at that level, there seems to be a lot, and there's a big global community that takes in a lot of countries. But in Canada and the U.S., the sort of that amateur race walkers and those that would, you know, eventually potentially make those world or Olympic bursts, it's small. It's a really small community here. It's a little bigger in Europe.
What is the top race walker? What's their time for the mile? A top race walker, just in general, roughly.
In general, well, we can. I'll use Tom Bosworth from England, who actually holds the world record for the mile race walk, and I do believe it's 5:39 or 5:31. So
now that's think about that, walk. Everybody. Yeah, think about that. You know, when you're talking about the 4 minute mile, and we all are know and picturing the runners around tracks, and think about walking. And then think that there's a race walking actually can do something in, you know, 5 to 6 minutes is pretty amazing. That's what amazed me when I first met Augie, which was the physicality and how fast he was. And those demands, and I was really curious as what you would know as a long time runner at different levels, and you've run all sorts of different races and levels, haven't you?
I have everything from track, the Boston Marathon, ultra marathons, trail running. So I've pretty much done everything you can in running.
And you're back to podorthos, because again, my world has always been the role of the foot in sports, the world of orthotics, the list, important world of strengthening your feet and ankles. I don't care what your sport is and what your level is. How did your experience in the world of podorthos and orthotic shoes be helpful in your world and your colleagues who will run a race walk with you?
I think I've always been advising those around me, friends and colleagues. I worked in a specialty running shop in university, so I knew running shoes, and then I got into podorthos simply because of that interest in feet and running, and I had foot issues growing up. So
now,
I
of course,
ended up wearing orthotics.
A podorthos is not a doctor, but you really are a foot shoe specialist. I used podorthos over the years for fitting problems of some of my super seniors and particular foot problems, but I also had a podorthos or two. I put John McEnroe together with this podorthos in the 80s, I think it was. So I have a tremendous regard for that profession. How long have you been in the world of podorthos?
I did that for probably about maybe 3 or 4 years in my younger years, and didn't take it on as a career just because at that point it was either going to do it full time and start my own business, and I just wasn't ready for it. But it was a lot of fun. It's kind of art and science in terms of we're not doctors, but we can take the advice of say a podiatrist, and we know the materials and the weight, the thickness of plastic that, you know, we take what's needed and find that.
Oh, if I needed that special shoe in any regard, including a world champion, tennis champion, specifics about a shoe, whatever, that a particular brand, even if they have their own individual brand and they have a sponsor, that the podorthos was the person I would use in order to be able to help design, to help properly fit, et cetera, et cetera. What do you write about?
I write about pretty much, well, outside of work, which is where I sort of have my passion. I write about, you know, whether it's running shoes, running, race walking, active living, mental health. Just that's what my passion is. So I'm always looking to share what I've learned in my experiences. So,
yeah, those are a whole array of topics that are topics over the decades of the sports doctor. Sometimes we talk a lot about the mental game. We also talk about, again, whether it's what's the best shoe for you or what about your children's feet and what about the importance of strengthening your feet and ankles and understanding the role the foot plays in all parts of the body, let alone somebody, when you're talking about ultra marathons, what are those, 50 miles to 100 milers?
They can pretty much go from, I think it's defined as anything above the marathon distance, which is 26 miles or 42K, so
right.
Anything beyond that. So I've run 50K,
80K. Once you get into the world of trails, now the shoe world changes totally. Now you need a multi-direction shoe, as if you're on a tennis court or a basketball court or playing different directional sports, compared to running shoes, which are made for one direction after another. Has that been your experience?
No, completely. As much as I do that the foot is such a complex structure. 26 bones each foot. It's the most complex bony structure we have in our body. And then you add all the tendons and muscles and everything else, and the fact that everybody's got a different one. And then you add differing terrain. Yeah, right now we're lucky to have shoes that are really geared towards different types of terrain, different types of running. So
yeah, you got to be at least really a cross trainer. That's right what I'm going to be telling. Yes, that's what I'm going to be telling your office when we ever do your audience, when we ever join your podcast. The importance of whatever your level of running or race walking, to say the least, or any other sport, you've got to include strengthening your feet and ankles. This is a subject in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which I talk about two essential exercises I want people to include for their young athlete or themselves. Number one is strengthen your feet and ankles, whatever sport you're doing. And number two is work balance. Work balance exercises, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother. And these are the things that have become very important. And you got to be fit properly. You know, it's amazing, that probably 30-40% of the population is not fit properly with their shoes. Is that your perception as an expert orthotist?
Oh, geez, yeah. From people coming in for orthotics or shoes, I mean, as much as you probably know the same thing, too tight, too short, or wrong type of shoe. You see it all the time.
Yes, I found that's why I was always a New Balance fan over the years, which was because they at least paid attention to width sizing, let alone now where we're paying so much attention. A group that supports the sports doctor, Hurdle Apparel, with their specific sock technology and fabric technology, becomes socks have become such a big deal. With a colleague of mine in the radio world, he's a 76-year-old world-class sprinter. At 76 years old, he runs the 200, and he runs without any socks. So the world of shoe technology, with things changing all the time, has become a real challenge. What are the differences, if any, between running shoes and the race walking world, Noel?
I think I was just going to mention that in terms of you're talking about foot strengthening, and your advice in your books would be essential for race walkers, because one of the main differences is in race walking, you use the foot more. It's an active foot. So there's a lot of force.
Great point.
So, and there's a lot of force applied by the ankle and the calf and everything else. So foot strength is even more important for race walking. And in terms of shoes, it's a slightly different requirement. You're looking for something that doesn't have a large stack height, so you're not looking for a big heel, and you're not looking for a significant drop from heel to toe. So you want something that's closer to like a zero drop.
Are there category race walking shoes?
There used to be some made by the major brands. And I'll give a shout out to an American brand called Reshod, which is the only current specific race walking shoe made in North America. So that's Reshod, and it's by Carmen Jakinski, and she's a race walker and she makes them. But other than that, it's going out and finding a running shoe that works for you.
Yes, and what's interesting again is that importance of foot type and foot mechanics, whether somebody's got high arches, whether somebody's got flat feet, whether they are bow-legged, whether they're knock-kneed, and getting a podiatric, podorthic point of view. What are your foot mechanics like? What's your history? Again, these are the big, big points for people who are involved in any high level of sport. Again, whether it's Boston Marathon, where you can't get in unless you're already an elite marathoner in a lot of ways, let alone handling trails. What kind of distances have you run trails?
I've done 100 kilometers and plus. I've done 250 kilometers on my 40th birthday. So,
Wow, we're going to ask you about your foot mechanics when we come back. We're talking with Noel Payne. Again, runner, race walker, writer, podcast. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking to Noel Payne. He's a long-time runner, race walker. He's a podcaster. He's a writer. We were just talking about he's run 100-miler in trail races and the marathon runs, and et cetera. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, Noel, at the break was how, podorthist in the past, talking about the importance of feet. How are you doing with these tremendous demands on you? What's your foot mechanics like?
Well, that's a very good question. And honestly, when I was starting out, I was a tall, gangly kid, and I didn't have a lot of foot strength, and I actually started wearing orthotics. And the short version is that I basically weaned myself off them much later when I gained foot strength and would only wear them every once in a while, then eventually was able to run without them. But it took a while.
I'll bet you a dollar, though. I have a bet for you from a bet from the Sports Doctor. And the proper orthotics, proper orthotics, it's an interesting word, should enhance your performance. So many times that's a new frontier, which is we don't need pain and problems to wean off them. We many times are going into them now for optimal performance. Just that's just my pearl for the week, Noel, on the Sports Doctor.
I love it. I think the two approaches are some people, there's orthotics and insoles that will enhance your running, definitely tweak what's there. And then there's supportive ones that are either temporary or permanent, depending on, different foot issues. But it can definitely enhance your running, especially if something's off biomechanically. You can get align the foot,
even if you have,
which is like the...
Yes, and even if you have the world's best biomechanics and you inherit it, and by the way, everybody, again, foot type is 80% of the time it's inherited. For years in my surgical career, we did bunion surgery on the 75-year-old grandma. We did bunion surgery on a 50-year-old daughter. We saw bunions developing, became a surgical problem. When we started looking very early at including orthotics probably saved you when you were talking about being a young gangly kid, because again, when done properly, it's all about alignment, structural integrity. And even if you have perfect alignment and structural integrity, though, Noel, you're a superstar for someone. How long have you been involved in the world of running? 30 years?
Oh God. Yeah. You're going to make me sound old, but yeah, over 30.
Well, and the fact that you still do are you still actively involved in the world of running and racing?
I haven't stopped moving. Always moving. Well,
so now, are you somebody that where you have combined the art and of race walking and the activity of race walking at various levels? Are you both? Do you do both? Do you do including three? What are you up to now?
I went for a 10K race walk this morning, and then I did a 5K run at lunch. So I've mixed the two, but I definitely identify more as a race walker now, and I love the sport.
How important have you found the mental side? Again, you're definitely some a high achiever. How many days a week are you involved in running or race walking?
Well, I would describe myself as a competitive masters athlete, so over 40, but I'm putting anywhere from 50 to 100 kilometers a week in when I'm
You got to take a look at something like the Sand Dune Stepper, which is a fantastic piece of equipment that simulates strengthening the whole intrinsic world of the foot. What's your off racing walking programs like? What kind of strength training and foot ankle stuff or rest body stuff are you doing?
Very race walk specific. If you're talking race walking, because like I mentioned, race walking places greater demand on the foot.
Like? Yeah. What's your foot ankle strengthening like? Are you using any rubber bands?
Yep, I've got the strengthening bands, you know, and doing all these sort of the weight bearing activity like, you know, calf raises and then muscle specific exercises because
do you do any instability work
a little bit?
Yeah, we have a topic. I call it instability training. Where like Sandy,
yeah.
I want to create like a BOSU. We want you on all sorts of balance pieces of equipment. That's another pearl for you, Noel, on the Sports Doctor.
I love it, and I'm an advocate of that as well. I think a lot of people don't realize the weaknesses they have.
And how important have you found do you do any teaching and coaching and writing about that in your world, in this whole combination of running and race walking?
I have. I've advised runners and my partner and a whole bunch of people over the years. So I definitely try to help them, put together training plans that make sense.
What's your work world? What are you involved with in the work world?
My work world, I'm a communications professional, former military Air Force officer, and now a communications professional.
Wow. Thank you for your service. And the communications, again, the idea of even mixing the three areas is unique, you know, long distance running, competitive running at different levels, and then mixing in race walking. Have you found that mixing them together has been helpful to your body or more challenging?
I think challenging in terms of they use slightly different muscle groups, but beneficial because doesn't create as much impact.
How's those knees of yours?
Well, that's the thing. Just like I mentioned, the race walking is lower impact, so a lot of people tend to move towards race walking if they have some injuries or they want something that's lower impact.
Do you do any core training?
I do. I never stop moving. So if I'm not running a race walk and I'm doing a few sit-ups or push-ups in the house, you know, so I'm always trying to maintain that overall body strength. I think it's so
important.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you mix in some single leg standing and balancing, which you always part of the great Bob Guida, wisdom in the past. So being a, are you a sports parent in any way, shape, or form, or grandparent?
We've got kids who are active. We don't have them like serious sports yet, but always encouraging them just to enjoy being active. I think that's always been our goal.
Yes, that's a great goal. You know, again, it's become one. We talked about it a lot in our first segment where we talked about the pressure on young baseball players on the Sports Doctor. We talk about it all the time. The tremendous specialization, my world of figure skating where I have 10-year-olds doing doubles 6 days a week. It becomes very, very stressful physically and mentally in the world of injuries and all these other kinds of pressures. So that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. How old are your kids?
We've got a 12 and a 14-year-old here, and it's all, I think, about balance, and we try and show by example as well, which I think is so important.
Yes. Well, again, that's many times where we talk about those two essential exercises, Again, number one, include in your exercise regime balance work your 12 or 14-year-old. And number two, include foot-ankle strengthening. They'll probably say, leave me alone, Dad, when you talk about the feet. But this, again, this becomes, regardless of the level or sport they play, regardless of how serious they become, the role of the foot is a very, very big deal when it comes to all these things that we're talking about. And they're right smack in the middle of growth, all of these challenges that we see. Do they play anything in school?
Oh yeah, I think it's the same as up here as it is down there. They're always moving. So they're, you know, trying different sports and moving, you know, back and forth, walking back and forth to school. So very active.
Are they involved in any specific sport? I'm pinning you down.
Oh, that's all right. Well, we're up in Canada here, so the 12-year-old was just off to hockey practice this morning.
Yes. Let me tell you something, Noel. There's not a hockey player or figure skater alive that proper orthotics don't do tremendous improvement. It's a big area of mine that we see speed, especially edging. And this is my real subspecialty for a million years. So if your son's a hockey player, consider that big time, which is tell him if he wants to be two steps faster, you come up with the right orthotic, and we use it all the time. I'd be glad to share it with you.
Yeah, but I believe it. You know what? I think it comes down to, you know what? People use their feet all the time, but it's often one of the things that they neglect the most.
It's a big, we see all sorts of problems, depending, again, you know, if we see somebody skating 3-4 days a week with heel problems, with other kind of postural problems, especially in the young girls. Half the trouble I see with young girls are knee problems that are foot orthotics related. So many times we see, do you have a boy and a girl or two boys?
We got two boys here and one girl.
Oh, there you go. So you got that mixture of all of these things in those kinds of age groups. And again, many times as a professional in the world of, especially in sports podiatry, this is something that we pay big, big attention to, especially in the world of skating. But we also see, like in volleyball and basketball, other kinds of sports, there's so much jumping, there's so much running. So we need to be paying attention many times into those two areas. The biomechanics, number one, and then the strengthening, number two. And how you doing is, I always ask a psychology question, how you doing as a sports parent, Dad?
It's funny. I try and lead by example and try and emphasize the fun and the fact that they can enjoy being active.
That's such a great point.
If they want to be competitive, they can do that after.
Yes, this is a great, great point. We talk about it all the time. Again, the sports, youth sports is a big, big business. Your children are right smack in the middle of the ages where we see all of these potential problems because of overuse and because of pressure. And the idea of you talking right up front, right from the beginning about the importance, again, of having fun, you know, absolutely keeping active, absolutely including... I'm sure you pay big attention to the world of nutrition. Both in, you better be, you know, yourself as an athlete. You know, how old are you?
I'm 48 and be 49 come this fall.
You're my son and daughter's age. Absolutely.
You know, probably my parents' age then.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And the pressure of on these kids, and again, the importance individually, in the area of the explosion, the importance of nutrition, when we see, again, individuals and athletes in their 40s at later and later stages many times. When was your last marathon?
Oh, geez, my last marathon was a few years ago now. I would say it's been quite a few years now. I sort of stepped away from the marathon and had more fun just going super long.
No, give me again. I knew the time would fly with you. Give me again the website or whatever people could find out about you, your writing, your podcast.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Noel Paine, NOELPAINE. That's the main place. Find me on Twitter. And you can find it racewalking. Go to Instagram at Canadian Racewalking. And then you'll get to see real racewalkers and learn more about the sport.
Terrific. Noel Payne, thanks so much for up there in Ottawa. Hold on, Noel. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Everybody, we are back with the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows and topics. We add a little Bob Guida wisdom. We're going to start something new this month. My involvement with Baseball Blue Book. I'm on their board of advisors in the sports medicine, health, and wellness area. I'm with my colleague, the Dr. Brian Cole, the sports orthopedist with the Bulls and the White Sox. Eric Wabena is the president of Baseball Blue Book. Gosh, they were founded in 1909. And we're going to include a Baseball Blue Book question of the week. We're also going to include a question of the week with Hurdle Socks, another one of our supporters. The whole world of sock technology, fabric technology, will include one of their questions with their co-founder, Sasha Hayes. You know, next week, another dynamite show. The world of pickleball is exploded. It's the fastest growing sport in the country. I wrote an article for Lower Extremity Review on pickleball in 2021. Nobody knew how to spell it. I had patients who were great tennis players. They came in with problems. They were long-time orthotics patients. And they told me, oh, we're playing pickleball. I looked at them like they were nuts. They then told me about it. Dr. Josh McKay, he's a doctor of physical therapy. He's a real specialist on all things pickleball and injury prevention and performance. And then Saul Blinkoff, he's a superstar speaker. He comes out of the world of Disney, the world of animation. He's a family colleague, and he is a great motivational speaker. I want to talk to him about the whole, again, the mental world, the mental game. That's such a big deal on the Sports Doctor. The following week, the president of Baseball Blue Book, Eric Wabena, will be on. He'll be talking about their new venture with in the New York City FM station and the whole world of Baseball Blue Book. Then one of the colleagues in the world of senior citizens, the senior magazine, Rick Baba, Paul Hammond and his I Am Fine organization, an organization that pays attention to seniors and super seniors and their communication, fantastic thing that he adds. You know, Bob Guida, this coming weekend, I'm going to be going to the 20th anniversary of the National Fitness Hall of Fame, Figarelli's. I was inducted in 2019, and one of their Lifetime Achievement Award winners, the late Bob Guida. So, Bob, I'll be thinking about you. In his wisdom, he paid such attention to the mini trampoline. He loved it. He founded a tremendous piece of equipment for athletes at any level, at any age, in any sport. He used to say, look at the mini tram like a clock. And then if you balance on one foot, whether it's at 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you create all sorts of challenges for balance. Imagine yourself standing at 3 o'clock with your right foot, your barefoot. The whole mini tram is tilting you in. It's got all sorts of instability. And you'd see athletes with Bob who had their baseball glove on, had their tennis racket in their hands. They had a baseball glove, whatever it was, a hockey stick. But they were balancing on the mini tram along with other pieces of equipment. You know, Eric Wabena, he gets the honor having the first baseball blue book question. Again, he wants to talk about the importance of shoes and proper fit in the world of baseball, and it's a big deal. You know, my first guest today, Eric, Walter Beebe, one of your advisors, his long history in youth sports and youth baseball. One of his sons is a major leaguer. And we talked about the importance, again, of what about cleats? What about the necessity of the right fit and the right support, possibly the inclusion of an orthotic in a baseball shoe? You know, and it's very, very important. So we tell parents, we tell coaches, they're young baseball players. We want them to pay special attention. Do you have any history of foot problems? What kind of sock are you wearing? Are you paying attention to that? Do you have foot mechanics problems? A lot of these kids, again, we would see arch concerns, heel concerns, shin splints, other areas where support, additional support, shoe change was important. The introduction of cleats very, very early often is a mistake with growing feet. Right under the ball of the foot, right on the heel, or major growth centers. So many times we're talking about multi-nub shoes in young baseball players, maybe between the ages, and softball players, between the ages of 8, 9, 10, and 13, 14. Active growth centers. So it's a great topic, and we wanted to kick it off with our Baseball Blue Book Question of the Week here on the Sports Doctors In segment. And now I'm going to talk with my guest in the past couple of weeks, one of the co-founders of Hurdle Socks, fabric specialist, fashion specialist, Tasha Hayes. The whole topic of the importance of socks, whatever your sport is, again, you should be including paying attention to it. You know, Hurdle has a left and right sock. They pay big attention, whether it's people standing on their feet all day or athletes, the world of performance. Where is the support? What about the moisture concern? What about blister prevention? What about shock absorption? So many times, again, when we're talking about the importance of sock, Tasha wanted me to just talk about those kinds of things being included for your self or your young son or daughter. She's playing serious tennis. What is she wearing? And how supportive and protective is it? Does your son or daughter have a history of perspiration and sweating or blisters? Blisters are a big deal. Friction prevention is a big deal. Sometimes if there's problematic areas, we might be talking about things as simple as Vaseline on an area that's getting excessive friction. Absolutely, the inclusion of the foot specialist, the podiatrist, at some sports podiatrist, especially, again, if your son or daughter's got a history of problems. Foot type is inherited. Even the uniqueness of left-right technology differences in the formation of a sock. So, Tasha, thanks for the question. We'll include you guys when it comes again to questions in the future. Steve said, he said, you know, my daughter's a serious volleyball player. She's got a history of knee problems. She's 14 years old. She's had nothing structurally. How important are orthotics? You know, it's very important. Years I put volleyball girls in orthotics because of knee problems. because of foot mechanics. Pay attention. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks to our friends at BBS. See you next week.